I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
Today we're going to cook up some pulled pork waffles with a bourbon maple syrup.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Welcome to episode 45 of Cooking with Fire. Today we're going to dive into everyone's favorite frozen breakfast food, waffles.
Waffles are a popular food around the world, but the frozen variety tends to be found in freezers all over the U.S. Much like ramen, it is a staple of the poor college student diet, as it is quick, easy, and can be dressed up with a variety of ingredients. But as with anything, if you want a truly great waffle experience, you need to cook it yourself.
Understandably, the waffle is a dish that requires you to own a piece of kitchen equipment that is otherwise useless. The waffle iron. So we're hoping today's recipe allows you to put it to good use, or better yet, convinces you to buy one.
But where exactly did waffles come from, and who in the world had the idea to cook batter in between two grooved cast iron plates?
The history of the waffle, as with most things in Western culture, can be traced back to the Greeks. Long revered for their pantheon of vengeful gods and their love of a good philosophical rant, the Greeks' culinary tricks spread throughout Europe, giving us the basis for dishes that are still popular today.
You may remember from past episodes that Greek flatbread recipes were used as the basis for pizza in Italy. And if this wasn't enough for you to shout your thanks to the Greeks, they also laid the groundwork for modern waffles.
In the Middle Ages, the Greeks took a simple batter made of flour, water, milk, and sometimes eggs, and pressed it between two cast iron plates. This thin cake became known as the wafer. But it was the Catholic Church that spread the wafer around the world when they began using them for communion. Communion wafers were simple and easy to create, with just two metal plates and a few ingredients being needed. The wafers the church made were often adorned with an image of a cross, which was more of an X than a traditional cross, and the plates were larger than necessary for creating small single-serving communion wafers. This made the plates perfect for creating larger wafers to serve as meals.
Over time, the wafer became a common food for nearly all of Europe, from peasants to royalty. As the wafer grew in popularity, new ingredients were added to sweeten them, such as local honey or fruit-infused water. Sometime in the 15th century, the paper-thin wafer began to evolve into something we'd recognize today as being a waffle. New irons were formed as rectangles and were more deeply engraved with various designs, albeit far less deep than the waffle irons of today.
At the end of the Middle Ages, in the early 16th century, sugar was added to a waffle recipe for the first time. With deeper waffle irons and sweeteners being added, waffles' popularity began to boom all around Europe, from France to Belgium to Germany. Each country began developing their own waffle recipes, with the Germans adding Hefeweizen beer yeast, or the French adding whipped egg whites to theirs.
In the 18th century, various waffle recipes began to spread around England and America, with waffle parties known as waffle frolics being held in the mid-1700s in what is now New Jersey. Waffles continued to be a popular food in the United States, but nearly 200 years after they had arrived, they got their first makeover.
Three brothers, Anthony, Sam, and Frank Dorsa, invented a frozen waffle that you could buy at your local grocery store that negated the need for owning a waffle iron. Originally known as froffles, a portmanteau of frozen and waffles, the dish was a hit. Fans of these pre-made waffles began calling them Eggos due to their egg flavor, and in 1955, just 2 years after introducing them to the market, the brothers officially changed their company's name to Eggo. Now is the perfect time to cut out to Chef Tom in the ATBBQ.com teaching kitchen and get started on today's recipe.
All right, well, the star of the show today is going to be the waffles, and we're going to make a really fluffy waffle that's crispy on the outside. But before we can get to that, we got to talk about the pork just a little bit. We are using leftover pulled pork in this recipe, and this is really just a really great utilization of leftover pulled pork. But what we start out with is a Boston butt pork shoulder, and I trim the fat cap off of that. And season it very simply with your favorite barbecue rub. You want something that's a little bit sweet or a little bit salty. Probably have some paprika in there for the really nice red color. And we start out smoking that at about 250 degrees for approximately 3 to 4 hours until the color reaches a deep mahogany red. At that point, we take it off of the pit, place it on a sheet of foil. You might add a little bit of apple juice at this point in the process that it can really braise in, and then wrap that pork shoulder as tight as you can in the foil, return it to the grill, and continue cooking until it reaches an internal temperature of 205, roughly 205 degrees Fahrenheit. But what you'll really notice is that the blade bone in the pork butt wants to pull right out. So if you tug on it and it releases easily, that pork is ready to be pulled. So that can be shredded by hand once it's cooled down a little bit, or of course you can use like claws or some sort of tool to shred the meat. Discard the blade bone, toss it in all of the juices that are accumulated in that foil because there's tons of flavor and it adds back a lot of moisture. That brings us to our waffles today. We're going to start out by sifting together our dry ingredients. So we've got some all-purpose flour, some white sugar, and baking powder. I'm gonna place this in a fine mesh sieve and just sift this into a larger bowl. And once we get this fully sifted, I'm going to add some kosher salt to the sifted dry ingredients. The kosher salt doesn't typically fit through the mesh, so we just add that after the fact. Now we're gonna move on to our wet ingredients. I have three eggs that I've separated, the yolks from the whites. The whites I'm setting aside, putting those in a food processor so that we can whip those, and that's where the really fluffiness of this waffle is going to come from. Now to the three egg yolks, I'm going to add some whole milk, and be sure to check out the recipe for the exact amounts. You'll want to follow right along. And then we're going to add some melted butter as well. Now, one little touch for this recipe is instead of adding some vanilla for the flavoring, we're gonna add about a teaspoon of bourbon. We give that a whisk. All right, and then on to the egg whites. So you wanna take these to stiff peaks. They'll begin to look like meringue. All right, and you'll know when you get to those stiff peaks because if you stick a spoon in there and flip it upside down, the egg whites stand straight up, a lot like whipped cream. So the egg whites are whipped. We've got our wet, we've got our dry. We're gonna go ahead and combine the wet and dry at this point in the larger bowl. And just whisk this until the dry spots disappear. And go easy on this because the less you move and agitate that flour, the more tender the end product's going to be. You are going to have some little lumps, and that's fine. Some of that butter is solidifying with the cooler ingredients. As long as you don't have any dry spots from the flour, you're good to go. And at this point, we're gonna add our magic fluffiness in the form of the whipped egg whites. And what you wanna do is, using a spatula, you're going to gently fold the egg whites into the batter. What I like to do here is I kind of slowly spin the bowl as I turn the spatula over, and this allows the batter and the egg whites to mix very gently so that you're not breaking the egg whites down all the way, and the whipped egg whites are adding volume to this batter. And I'll just do this until the white streaks from the egg whites are gone. Now I've got the waffle iron preheated. For our specific waffle iron, I'm gonna add 1/2 cup of batter for each waffle. And then while we wait for these to cook, let's go put together our syrup. All right, so we're doing a bourbon maple syrup sauce with these. In a small skillet, I'm gonna add about 1 cup of maple syrup. And to that cup of maple syrup, I'll add about 2 tablespoons of bourbon and just a pinch of red pepper flakes for the heat. Of course, this is a fairly adult sauce, but if you need to adjust the levels of bourbon or red pepper, of course you can do that to make it more mild, less boozy, more boozy, however you like it. So we'll bring this up to a simmer. That'll cook off some of that alcohol, but we'll still get that bourbon flavor with the maple syrup. So we're gonna cook these waffles just until they're golden brown, crispy on the outside. We'll throw another batch in and warm up some of our pulled pork. When it comes to reheating this pulled pork, especially for this dish, what I really like to do is just pull this out of the fridge cold. And I'll take a handful at a time. You've got your hot skillets going because you're cooking breakfast, right? Put down just a touch of oil in a hot skillet and then that pork right on top. You get that sizzle. This is gonna warm a pork through, but it's also gonna give it some nice crispiness on the outside. So it'll only take about 1 minute to get through that. Let's go check on these waffles. Now, as I tear into one of these just to check it out, the outside is super crispy, but we've got big air holes inside. That's because we've created all that fluffiness with the egg whites. When we bite into it, crunchy on the outside, light and airy on the inside. Classic waffle flavor, and just to dip that in the maple syrup sauce. Oh, incredible. So when I put this all together, I like to stack a couple of waffles, a nice portion of the reheated pulled pork on top, drizzle the syrup over it. And if you want to, it wouldn't kill you to put a fried egg on top. That's a full meal and a really great, quick, easy meal utilizing that leftover pulled pork.
That does it for today's episode. Let us know if you cook this recipe and email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what else you'd like us to feature on the show.
And as always, visit kmuw.org to get the full recipe for this week's cook.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. This allows us to reach more listeners. And join us next time as Chef Tom cooks up classic buffalo wings.